friend of these friends of mine, these childhood friends of mine, from Butler, but also from Maury and Stella Horowitz, brother and sister. They were my friends from the time I was five. Their parents were very close to my parents. Our two families were very close, and Maury and Stella are still very much a part of my life. Stella more than Maury, and that's another story. But we would come in, and we would go to the theater, sit in the second balcony, and we'd get together over the weekend, and there'd be a lot of talking and laughing and doing. We'd come in usually on a Saturday and stay and go back to Butler Sunday night. And we were usually being fed at someone's home, usually at Milton's home or someone. And it was just it was a very exciting kind of existence. Because, I mean, it was, we were involved, we were talking, we were laughing, we were arguing, we were concerned.
So from this was really a big change from the unconcern of your college years to being really involved in every kind of activity and concern.
When I was on the campus, I wasn't involved in one single solitary activity. Even though as a sorority girl you were supposed to be, I was not involved in anything, and then all of a sudden to become such an involved person. But this I've noted in many instances, that the people who are very active on the campus, they seem to sputter out and die after they leave. The big man on campus and the big woman, when I look at some of them today and see what they have. And then some of us who were, you know, we couldn't care less, that we become the committed ones on that. But would be a typical week.
All right, let's go to the end of 1936. Were things getting pretty tense then with your hopelessness about getting married?
Oh, I was married in October of 36. It was the beginning of 36. What occasioned the change? Well, Milton, I had gone into a law office, Elmer Ecker's a law office. This was a result of some work that Milton had done with Elmer Ecker when the Phi Epsilon had their national fraternity convention here. And Milton, who was about, at that time, was but fraternity-minded. But Milton wrote, although he was practicing law, but he had his column, you know, with it. At the then Jewish Criterion, and
I didn't realize it went that far back.
What?
Milton's writing a column.
Milton has written a column for 40 years. Started writing a column 2 years after he was graduated from law school, when Alter,
yes.
David Alter asked Milton to write. But Milton was involved in the publicity and so forth and so on, and Elmer Ecker offered him a place in his office. For Elmer's office was primarily criminal law, but he wanted someone to do the civil end of it. So Lou Rosenfield and Milton were asked to come into Elmer's office. So that Milton was able to see his way clear to get married, because he had been supporting his parents all along. And by that time, I was being able to take care of myself, and I did take care of myself.
Did you live with your parents?
I paid for everything. I mean, took care of all of my own clothes and my own this and that during all of those days while I was practicing law. And then Milton and I married, and my parents had given us a car so that I could get married. Because
things seemed to be getting a little better by then.
The Depression seemed to, there was a bit of hope then, people were feeling. I mean, Roosevelt really had done a tremendous job.
Did you admit that at the time?
Oh, no. It was always some other factor. I started driving back and forth every day. And I think this was a little hard on Milton, because Milton had a very active life in Pittsburgh, too. And it also became hard on me because I had activities in Butler and I wasn't going to be able to carry on these nighttime activities. And also, what was it? I'd come in and Milton would be at his meeting here and there. He was educational director at the Y. He had succeeded Kolodny, who had gone to New York. And so he had classes at night down there. He had to be down there to run the school and there.
He was really working three jobs.
Oh, yes. this is Milton. But I was still commuting back and forth until November, the first snowfall. And I drove into Pittsburgh, and it was a sheet of ice. And I was petrified by the time I got in. And I had only been driving, you see, a short time. And we decided that I would stay in Butler from Monday mornings till Friday evenings. And that's when I became a weekend wife. And I was in only from Friday night evening until Monday morning. And as Dolores Passamanic once said, she said, "You know, you and Milton live the lives of the very rich without having any money." because Milton was the social secretary. And when I would come in, he'd have everything planned. So there would be a concert, or there would be the theater, or there would be arrangements to be with friends, or we would be having people over to our place.
Where was your place? Was
we
that,
lived
did you have
on,
your own
moved,
place?
No, because Milton was supporting his parents. They had an apartment on Forbes Avenue between Murray and Shady. It was Murray and Shady. And it was my first experience of living in an apartment. I had only lived in a house. And it was a little difficult because Milton's mother was such an expansive woman, and the whole world was her friend. And her house, I mean, the walls were rubber walls. There was always room for 50 million people. But we had to fix up our bedroom as a studio, as I told you. And this is where when there'd be just one couple coming over, we'd be back in our room. If there would be more, I mean, then we used the living room. And it was a very exciting, thrilling kind of a life.
It was a most unusual married life.
It was a very hectic and exciting thing. And here we were, both leading our own lives and yet living lives together. And every Christmas for 10 days, we would go to New York and just bury ourselves in the theater. We'd be just be flood ourselves with it. We would be at the theater every night and every matinee, and then after the theater, we would go to movies because they'd have the movies, you know, running all night on Broadway. And plus sing for Milton's friends who had been counselors at camp with him. It was a very, very exciting and thrilling
kind of a life.
And then in the summers, we would go up to Racket Lake where Milton was a counselor. And this again with the life we led there, we'd always be invited to stay at the Antlers, which was the adult resort for the parents.
Where? What state is this?
And Racket Lake in the Adirondacks in New York. And even though we'd be invited to stay there by the owners, by Max Berg and Ray Phillips, Milton never wanted to because he still carried over from his counselor days, where they looked down their noses at that kind of thing, and we would stay at the Village Hotel, but we used the Antlers facilities.
How long were these summer vacations?
2 weeks. But this was the thing where everybody got very, very dressed up. You know, you came with your diamonds at the New York, primarily New Yorkers, although there was Milton at one time took 40 out of Pittsburgh to Racket Lake. This is how he earned his way through college and law school, by the way. And he continued to do it for the first 2 years after he was graduated from law school.
He took young people or adults?
No, young people. Catholic mm-hmm. age. And we always wrecked the plans of the resort. because so many of the people would want to end up doing what we wanted, what we did, you know, going out in a canoe to one of the island, one of the islands that dotted Racket Lake, and very informal. You dressed like a bum all the time, and instead of getting very dressed up for the Ambers was very much like today would be in the country club kind of mm-hmm. existence, or Miami, you know, the real.
But you did your own thing, you would admit.
Oh, that's right. We've always done our own thing. And they'd have plants there at Racket, you know, they do at these adult places. And the people, all their plants would go to Racket because so many of them would want to come and do what we wanted to do. So it was a very, very exciting kind of thing with the practice of law.
It must have been exciting, but there must have been a great deal of tension. Didn't you feel pulled in different directions?
By what?
By Milton, and didn't he want you here for certain things during the week?
No, I mean, no. Most people didn't even know Milton was married because he'd go to all these things alone. There would be some things that I would come in for, things that were important that both of us be there. But I had a very busy life in Butler. Milton had a very busy life in Pittsburgh. And he would come to Butler when indicated. I would come into Pittsburgh when indicated. And no tensions, no pressures. We both were doing our own thing and having tremendous pride in each other's accomplishments. For instance, you know, Milton would write to me. He's always preferred writing to telephoning. And he would write, and we'd address the letters to Minnie E. Spiro, Esquire. And, of course, my clients, for the most part, called me Miss Spiro, and I was referred to as Miss Spiro, and Milton has always hated the name Minnie. And he always referred to me as Miss Spiro. To this day, he'll call me Miss Spiro, or Spee. Never uses the name.
He never called you men when you were going to?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was when I started practicing law, and he took such pride. And you see, I retained my maiden name after I was married. I still practice law under my maiden name of Minnie E. Spiro. And any newspaper publicity was Minnie E. Spiro. I mean, when I have any write-up of my cases in court, it was Minnie E. Spiro. If I spoke in here, it was Minnie E. Spiro. And all of that kind of thing. It wasn't until I moved into Pittsburgh that I became Mrs. Milton J. Sussman, with a great deal of
pride. You really did have an unusual career for a woman in the 30s, an unusual married experience.
Well,
would be very fitting today, in the 70s.
Yeah. But we never felt about it that way. I mean, life was good. Life was exciting. And the Depression to us was not a fearsome thing because we made our own kind of fun. And so if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. But there were other things.
Did your life change, your week's activities and your values when the United States became involved in the war?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Would you describe how things changed, what your week was like then?
Well, I told you about my involvement with the civil defense. There was all of that. And then Milton, I was also attorney for the draft board. And in charge of, Mr. Troutman was chairman of the draft board. And I became attorney for
it. Sounds as if you were part of the establishment.
I was. I was very much accepted by them. And I set up the, what did they call it? What did they call it when you had the registration, draft registrations, which were mammoth, enormous things. And for the city of Butler, we had it at the courthouse, and I ran those registration days and set up the total schedule. And very much involved in that. I was involved in all the appeals for the draft board on that kind of thing. Someday, if you're ever talking to Milton, he can tell you about an incident of what happened when he was stationed at the University of Illinois.
Well, he was accepted after this operation.
By the time he went through the operation, they closed that procurement. But Milton volunteered. He was not drafted. Milton volunteered. And he left on December 28th of 1942. And I will never forget that day. We had a house on Solway Street. We'd moved from Forbes Avenue to Solway Street.
With his parents?
Oh, sure, his parents came with us. And Milton and I had purchased furniture, the living room furniture and the bedroom. We kept the dining room. My mother and dad had their own bedroom. And we used what had been our studio, our bedroom furniture. It's a lounge, a sofa bed that became the furniture in our den. And I came into Pittsburgh, stayed in Pittsburgh for a couple days, and we were packing everything. Mother and Dad Brooks were moving to an apartment, smaller apartment, a one-bedroom apartment. I was taking our bedroom furniture to Butler, and folks had everything else. But there was a matter of packing, and that day was a very anguishing day. But
Milton
was leaving, but his mother was just a tremendous, with a glorious sense of humor and great strength. And we were going through things, and we found family pictures. And that evening, until Milton and I left, a cab came to pick us up. We spent talking, looking at the pictures, and going through family jokes. His family had a great capacity for laughter. And for taking something very serious and handling it to the laughter.
Oh, this must have been marvelous for you.
Oh, it was, because in my family, life was real, life was earnest kind of thing. My mother, who was a tremendous person, but has no sense of humor. My father had a great sense of humor. Mother doesn't. So when something was very serious, it was very serious in my family. In Milton's family, something was very serious, but you handled it with laughter. Mm-hmm. On this guy. And the cab came for us and dropped Milton off at the post office. Isn't it funny? It's still painful to think of.
It must have been very painful.
And the cab took me down to the Harmony Short Line bus. It was about 11 o'clock. And it's like the things you see in the movie where the two are looking at each other through the back of the window. I was looking at the cab. And there was concern about it. He went to camp meetings. He said he spent New Year's Eve shoveling garbage. And from there he went to Oklahoma. The name of really I block off on the names of these places.
But you were,
and I didn't see him then. But constant writing, and I was never a letter writer. Began writing him. I wrote him three times a week. And I must look for those. I began after a while to make carbon copies because it was almost like a diary kind of thing, and comments on what had occurred. And what was going on in Butler, what was going on nationally, and this was particularly true when he went overseas.
Oh, it would be interesting to find.
And Milton was never much of a letter writer when he was away. And his letters never contained, he always seemed to use letters as an escape too. Never talked really about the nitty gritty things or the concerns. And his letters were primarily comments on what I had written. When I would hear from him very frequently, I would know that he was unhappy. when I wouldn't hear so frequently, I would know that life was going along quite well for him.
How long was he away?
3 years.
3 years.
And he was overseas for about a year. And our letters crossed that when, if God willing, he came home. He was with Patton's Army. If he came home, I would give up my office and move into Pittsburgh as a full-time wife.
Oh, this decision was made while he was
Our letters apparently appeared to cross.
You mean you both had written the same, he asking you and...
And my decision to make that. So,
But your life during that time must have been...
I had been teaching at Road of Sholem Temple, as you recall, when Jack Rothschild came as the assistant to Dr. Friedhoff in 37. Jack and Milton had been
When
friends.
You came in for these weekends, after practicing law and being active in every organization in Boston,
Jack was talking, Jack said something about teaching, and I said I'd love it. And I started teaching the pre-con class that was in the, before we had the new building. And I taught the pre-con class for a good many years. And when Milton went into the service in 42, I finished up that. And then 43, I wasn't going to teach because I didn't think I was going to be coming in regularly. Come in just about every other week to see Milton's parents. But I received a call from Dr. Friedhoff asking me if I would come back and teach the confirmation class. So I started coming in every week in 44.
We were lucky to have you. That was my class.
Yes,
44.
I remember you so vividly because I was very taken with your appearance and with your very, very sharp and pert mind.
Thank you.
It was a very incisive mind. I think the course I taught you was Jewish history through literature. That was the thing that course that Dr. Friedhoff wanted me to teach and to
and
develop.
And I had forgotten, but you're right, and I was so impressed with that course and still that approach. Impression.
Well, this was Dr. Friedhoff's idea, and he asked me to teach it.
We all remember you as being outstanding.
Thank you. And I taught the confirmation class. This is getting a little bit. Taught the confirmation class until my son was confirmed in 1964.
But what I can't get over is the multifaceted life that you led. These are the different roles, and you can tell me and expand on them what each meant. At this time, wife. Long distance. Daughter. Still, your parents were still living at this time?
Your mother's still. Sure, my father died 10 years ago.
And I'm sure you spent time with them.
I lived with them.
Practicing attorney.
Yeah.
President of council.
Mm-hmm.
And of Hadassah?
No, not Hadassah.
But act still?
I was never too Hadassah-minded.
The draft board still is active in this?
And the Council of Jewish Women?
The Council of Jewish Women.
Voter Club?
Voter Club. Teaching in Pittsburgh?
Active in the community chest and Butler and the drives.
Amazing, the number of activities. But what
they never felt. I never really felt that they were. I never really felt that they. I was doing anything unusual. Because it was never burdensome. It never became a hassle. It never became tense or unpleasant.
Which is marvelous.
And I mean, with the. These were the kinds of things. I was always being encouraged to do these things. I never had any stumbling blocks. I never had anyone saying, well, we think this is too much. My parents believed in this kind of thing, and God only knows Milton did. Milton feels so strongly about the fact that it is a sinful thing for a person who has been trained, a person who has capacities, not to use those. Not to use the knowledge, not to use the training, not to use the education, and not to use the capacity.
Well, do you think this made a difference, the fact that your parents and Milton encouraged
you? Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I'm a driving person myself with these needs. But I was encouraged to... my family was always very proud of me, but they never made a big business out of it. I was not set apart from the other children. I was not considered superior to the other children. My parents felt all of their children were great, and that we each had a role to play, and they were very proud of each and every one of us. My sisters and my brother didn't have to pay homage to me the way I have seen it happen in other families, where one person is the star of the family. That didn't happen in our family.
The relationships remained.
Yeah, I mean, I was part of the family. I wasn't treated as a special kind of a person.
How about, tell me a little bit about your role of your parents while Milton was away. Were they helpful to you? Were you?
Well, you see,
you lived at home.
I had never really been away. Because, after all right, I was married in October of 1936. Starting in November of 1936, I was there 5 nights a week.
And then another role you missed up until this time was that of cook and shopper and
homemaker. I didn't have anything. And that's one reason, you see, it was very easy for me to live with my mother-in-law, who was a magnificent housekeeper and a magnificent cook. There weren't two cooks in the kitchen. Although Milton was supporting them, mother still ran the house. And she was also a very, very remarkable woman. Here was her only son, her only child. And she made no demands on him. Milton and I were perfectly free to come and go.
How did she feel about her son marrying a woman who lived in another city and practiced law and didn't take care of him?
Well, I mean, she was very happy to take care of him. She still had her role. I wasn't taking anything away from her. I mean, and perhaps one reason, as I think of it just at this moment, perhaps one reason that there was this, she had nothing 5 nights a week.
What mark of a Jewish mother
I wasn't taking anything away from him, from her. I mean,
do you think she had any misgivings at the beginning?
She had been accustomed to me being at their home. Uh-huh. All those many, many years from the time I was in law school.
We used
to study there. And she was accustomed to when I started practicing law and I'd come in over weekends, she was accustomed to me sleeping there. I was no stranger to her, nor was she any stranger to me.
So we
were not threatening to each other at any time.
That's really very good. Mm-hmm. When you made this decision while Milton was away, do you remember how long he had been away when you made the decision?
It was when he was overseas, when the concerns, when the real concerns came.
Of would he be back?
Yes. And a recognition that I was really very lonely, even though my friends were just simply marvelous. To me, there was never any such thing as being alone at any time. But it's been since that time. I hate New Year's Eve. I'm very, very lonely on a New Year's Eve. I'm very sad and desolate, no matter where we are or what we're doing. I think we're losing.
Going back to what?
Going back to the first New Year's Eve, not December 28th. And also, I mean, there was that plus the fact.